Praise the Lord. Happy Mother's Day to every mother here and every mother to be. You are really blessed women. Praise the Lord. All right. So what's our theme again? Thank you. What's our theme? Who remembers? All right. Do business till I come. Do business till I come. Let's open to Luke chapter 19. We're going to read 13, 15 to 20, and then 23. Luke 19, 13, 15 to 20, and 23. Shall we pray? Our merciful Heavenly Father, we worship and bless your name. You are such a good daddy. We love you, daddy. We are grateful you made us who we are. And we are grateful, Father, that you put in our hearts to be here today to honor mothers. And Father, we thank you, for you are our source. You are the builder of our lives. And except you build, it's all in vain. Father, it's only you that has what it takes to get into the innermost recesses of a human being, to turn that person around to who you want him or her to be. To be the plans that you have for us. It's only you that can help us. It's only you that breaks the bread of life by the power of your spirit. Father, we submit to you today, and we thank you because you are good. We know we will not live the way we came. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and understanding. We bless your name, Father, because we shall truly be blessed in a way and manner we've never known it today, before, by the time we are living here today. Blessed be thy name, merciful Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for answered prayers. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Luke 19:13, I read. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. 15. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. Verse 23. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? Amen. He gave them something. He didn't send them without giving them something. But there's a requirement that at his return, after he has gained the kingdom, they are going to give account to him. And some of them used what he gave them profitably, but there was one that did not use it profitably. And I want to liken this to us who are in Christ Jesus. Those of us who are born again, who have received the new nature. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, if any woman be in Christ, he's who? He's a new creation. He said, all things have passed away, all things have become new. We received a new nature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Can we read that together? Please, if we can have it on the screen so everybody can join. Let's go. Ready? Go. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee, verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. We trusted in him. But that trust did not come until after we did what? We heard what? The good news. And what is that good news? The gospel of our salvation, everything about Jesus Christ, everything that Jesus did for us, we had it first. Because that is the primary thing that will have to determine whether you're going to trust or not. If your trusting is happened before you heard the good news, I doubt if you really have received the new nature. So he said that trust came after you heard the good news, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and then you believed. And then you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible said in Romans 8 verse 9b, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to him. So coming to church will never make you a child of God. Will never give you the new nature. Sleeping in the church, carrying the father's Bible, wearing the gown that is crawling on the floor, without earrings and no decoration, will never make you a child of God. The only thing that makes you a child of God is if you do what the Bible said you should do. That is, if you have received the Spirit of Christ in you, if you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, because he is the only one that guarantees that you are a child of God. Amen? So the moment you do that, you receive the new nature. And he said that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What you're wearing now is your physical house that helps to clothe you here on earth. And this body, this house, sometimes drags us into things that we don't want to get into. But the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us to continue to be reminded that God still loves us, that we are children of God. He said, until the redemption of the purchased possession, which means until we receive the new body whereby we will be raptured. Until then, the Holy Spirit continues to help us. Then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, 19 to 20, and then 22. Ephesians chapter 2, 10, 19 to 20, 22. It says, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's masterpiece. He created us in Christ Jesus. He gave us the new nature so that we would do the good works that he preordained from the foundations of earth that we are going to walk into. And that is the new nature. He gave us the new nature whereby we shall be able to do business that profits the kingdom while we are here in this physical earth. Amen? So we are God's workmanship. And he wants us to walk in those good works. And verse 19 says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. How many of us are saints here? If you are a saint, please put up your hand. So what is happening to those that are not putting up their hands? You don't know whether you are a saint. What makes you a saint? What makes you a saint? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? It is the Jesus in you that guarantees that you are a saint. That's why he said here, you are no longer strangers nor foreigners, but you are now fellow citizens and members of the household of the Father. Amen? So how many of us are saints? I can still see quite some hands that are not lifted up. I guess perhaps you're considering maybe your performance. Maybe I didn't perform well today. Or maybe I didn't perform well yesterday. So I don't think I'm a saint. What makes you a saint is not your performance. What makes you a saint is the Jesus in you. Amen? So the moment, that's why he said in Romans 8:9b, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, what happens? You don't belong to him. God doesn't know you. Amen? So you become a fellow citizen. You become a member of God's household the moment you have said yes to Jesus from your heart. Because God is interested in your heart. The moment you do it, bam, that very moment, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, shoo, washes away all your sins. And what happens? God stamps his image. And that is the promised Holy Spirit that guarantees that you are a child of God, that guarantees that all that belongs to Jesus, you are also going to enjoy it. Amen? So, verse 20 said, The reason you become fellow citizens with the saints, the reason you become a member of God's household is verse 20. Because you have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And who is that foundation? Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation whereby we shall be saved except who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because you have been built on that foundation, that is what makes you a citizen of heaven. That is what makes you a member of God's household. Amen? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20-21. Philippians 3, 20-21. He said, but we are what? We are what? So? We are citizens of heaven. How many of us are citizens of America? Citizens of America. You are a citizen. You know what you went through to become a citizen of America. But this citizenship was given to you by the blood of Jesus. The moment you say yes to Jesus, you believe that all that he did was for you, automatically you become a citizen. Hallelujah. So, if you are born again, you are now citizens of heaven. And the Bible said that we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He said, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And verse 21 says, he will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. So like I said, this body sometimes drags us into something we don't like. And I'm sure that is why some of us, when I say how many of us are saints, they are me, Emike. You don't know me. The reason why you're saying you don't know me is because you don't know me too. What qualifies us is Jesus Christ. Amen? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if you have received that citizenship, you have received something to work with, to do business for him while here on earth. You have received something to work, to do this business. You have received the new nature. So you have become his workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus. And what are you created for? To do good works. He created you to do good works. He didn't just create you for nothing. There's a purpose for which God created you, to do good works. Hallelujah. So we have something more than gold. And we sing it in songs. Something more than gold. Something more than silver. The Spirit of God in the heart of man is something more than gold. It's worth more than the money that a lot of people are pursuing. It is something more than gold that God gave you to do business for him here. While you live until Jesus comes to take you home. Until you take your exit home. That is your tire staying, because he promised us that with long life he will satisfy us. Amen. If you choose to stay until he comes, that's good enough. But if you choose to live before that time, it is still equally good. But while you're here, you do business to the profit of the kingdom where you belong. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1 says, 2 Corinthians 6 1, let's read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1. Ready, go. As good partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then do what? Ignore it. Do not accept this marvelous gift, the Spirit of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1. Do not accept this grace of God in vain. The new nature, it is not for just putting under the bushel and then forgetting it there. It is not just for you to answer, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven. God wants you to use it for the profit of the kingdom. As God's partners, we beg you, that is Paul, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. And Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, John 9, 4 and 5, he said, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. Because we don't have all the time here. We don't have all the time here. So we must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. He said, the night is coming, and then no one can walk. Your night comes when you take your exit. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. That is Jesus speaking. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. And you remember when he passed over the baton to us. So we are the ones here in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are now citizens of heaven. And while we are here, we now are the light of the world. Amen. Is that not what the Bible said in Matthew chapter, I think, 5, from verse 15 down? We are now the light of the world. So God wants us to shine. And where does light shine? In the dark. And the world is full of darkness. And God has given us as the light to shine in this world. And there are sometimes some of us that are in the light, that has the light of God in us, kind of grope like as if we're in the dark. And the ones that are around us that also has that light, they are supposed to also help us to remember that there's light that we have, so that we can walk on the right path. Amen? God has called us as Jesus' ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. I was looking out the meaning of the word ambassador, and it says, an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its representative to a foreign country. An accredited diplomat. And the word recognized or authorized. God officially recognized and authorized. Can you still hear me? Okay. So, home, but we are here on earth. We are here on earth to represent Jesus. Representatives. We are Christ's ambassadors. So anywhere you find yourself, know that you are representing someone. And who are you representing? Jesus Christ. Whether you are in the church, whether you are at your business center, whether you are in your marital home, whether you are a child, a youth, a man, a woman, whoever you are, but you have received the new nature, you have been assigned to represent Jesus Christ. And we have been called to represent him properly. We don't need to have anybody watching us. Because remember, he said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's there with you 24/7. But you have to remember that you are representing someone. So anywhere you find yourself, anything that you're doing, remember you are never alone. We used to sing a song, my life is not my own, to you I belong, I give myself to you. So remember that your life is no longer your own. The moment you say yes to Jesus, you have called him your Lord. I go to work. When I go to work, from 8:30 to 4 p.m. is their time. And when I get there, whatever they ask me to do, I just simply do what? Do, if I want to get my pay. But when it is 4 p.m., it is now my time. When it is my break time, it is now my time. So if you get there and then you start doing gara-gara to them, they will check you out and get somebody else to take your place. We must always remember that when we said yes to Jesus, it means yes to everything that his word says for us to follow. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to read 1 to 12. Proverbs 2, 1 to 12. So, for you to do this business until he comes, you have to do it based on home-based instructions. You have to follow the home-based instruction. And where is our home? heaven is our home. So we get our information. When we have an ambassador that is in, for instance, Nigeria, that is from US, where does he get his orders from? Where does he get his orders from? It has to be from here, because he's representing US in Nigeria. So whatever he has to say has to be what he's instructed. Whatever he has to give has to be what he's instructed from the home base. You understand what I'm saying? So because he's representing here, he can't go there and start representing Nigeria. Nigerian ambassador to here will have to represent Nigeria here. Amen? So we are citizens of heaven, but we are here as representatives of Jesus Christ. We have to have this at the back of our minds, 24/7. Amen? Proverbs 2 verse 1. It says, my child, listen to what I do, what? To what I say. Do we have it on the screen? Listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. Amen? Remember we said, for you to do this business profitably to the kingdom, so that you don't appear like the man that had one talent and said, here is your mina, because I know who you are, so I hid it. You have to take instructions from home base. And this is what he's telling us. For you to do this business profitably, follow my word. Do it according to my word. Treasure my word. If you do not treasure the word of God, if you don't see it as a treasure, if you don't place value on the word of God, there's no way you will do this business profitably. Because this thing that will drop here will drag you into a lot of stuff that you will not like. You will live like a pauper, yet as a king. And you don't want to get there. And you will be a bad example to those around you. Even though when you're done, you will still make heaven because you have the Spirit of Christ in you. But you will do without a lot of stuff. So you see, cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Where is the source of wisdom? Pastor Kemi was reading for us. Said, wisdom is the principal thing. He said, therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. What is the source of wisdom? He told us that in verse 6. He said, for the Lord grants wisdom. He said, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. From his mouth, from the word of God. David said, your word have I hid in my heart. The word of God is what will guide you and remove your heart, your legs from those that have twisted words. He said, wise choices will watch over you. And he said, you will gain common sense. Common sense is not common. It comes through the mouth of God. Amen? But you have to earnestly seek it. You have to really show, like the Bible was telling us, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. You go after what you earnestly desire to get, and you go for it with all your heart, and you spend time seeking it because you really want it. Just in the same manner, if you understand that the word of God is what will help you to do profitable business. If you're doing business, for instance, if you're making profits, who is the first beneficiary? You are the one, isn't it? So in the same manner, when you're doing this business of the kingdom,
There's no way you will not first be partaker of whatever comes out of it. Amen? So he said, verse 8, guard the path of the just. You know, he guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Who are those faithful to him? Those who choose to be fools for him and simply yield to the word and follow the directions of the word. Those are the ones he's talking about. Who are those that walk with integrity? Those who choose to go by the route of the word of God. You choose to be a fool, even when the others are going this direction, but the word said this, and we sing it in song. If God says it, and I believe it, that settles it. You choose to go by that song. You choose to yield to whatever God says, regardless of what anybody else is saying or doing. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, 20 to 27. Proverbs 4, 20 to 27. He said, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Do not lose sight of them. He said, pay attention to what I say. Where we read before says, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. That's treasure my word. And then this one, verse 20, chapter 4, verse 20 says, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. He said, do not lose sight of them. Let them penetrate how? Let them penetrate how? How? Deep. If you follow the scripture, let them penetrate deep into your heart. Not on the surface. Deep into your heart. In other words, when it penetrates deep into your heart, it's what garrisons whatever you're doing. It says, guard your heart. It's verse 22. It says, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart above all else. While we were in Nigeria, remember how we put all manner of gadgets to guard our houses from thieves and armed robbers? We go to any extent, put iron bars, put this padlock, put another one, and then another one. But when it comes to our heart, anything goes. And yet, it is out of our heart that comes the issues of life. And God says, guard your heart above what? Above even the way you guard your heart, your house. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Whatever is your life today, check what you have allowed in your heart. Whatever is your life today, check what you have allowed in your heart. And he said in verse 24, avoid all perverse talk. What are you supposed to do with perverse talk? Avoid them. You avoid them. He says, stay away from corrupt speech. He said, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. He said, mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Avoid all perverse talk. How many perverse talks do we listen to? On television? On papers? On books? You know what perverse talk means? Anything that is contrary to the good things of the world is perverse. All manner of movies, a lot of them are full of perversion. Perverse speeches. A lot of them are full of perverse speeches. They are full of perverse speeches. And yet the Bible told us in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, he said, abstain from evil, shrink from it, and keep aloof. And a lot of people, believers, sit in front of that and they're just gulping everything, just swallowing everything. He said, abstain from evil, shrink from it, and keep aloof from it in whatever form or whatever kind it may be. In whatever form or whatever kind it may be, keep aloof, shrink from it. Don't get involved. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but at the end of it is the way of death. God who formed you, who is your father, he knows what is good for you. And he knows those perverse, talks, evil speeches, twisted talks, that they are not going to help you, because you are what you feed yourself with. The Bible said, how can a young man keep himself pure? He said, by just taking heed to your word. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33 to 34, he said, do not be deceived. Tell your neighbor, do not be deceived. Tell your neighbor on the other side, do not be deceived. Tell your neighbor again, I mean it, do not be deceived. Tell your neighbor on the other side, I mean it, do not be deceived. When God says to you, do not be deceived, you think God will be telling you a lie? He said, don't let anybody trick you. Don't get deceived. He said, evil company corrupts good habits. And you know what he said in verse 34? Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, for some do not have the knowledge of God. A lot of those people that you're watching over the TV, movies, and all manner of things, they don't have the knowledge of God. Some of them get drunk to do that. Some of them get on drugs to do that, so that they'll be bold and they come and do all those things. And they say all manner of things. And then you are sitting and you're swallowing all those things. And God said, do not be deceived. So, and when he told you, do not be deceived, he meant every word of it. And he said, the heart of the Father, because he loves you and he don't want you to be hurt. And he said, don't get deceived. You see, he said to you, evil communication corrupts good manners. And you say, that you don't know what you're talking. I can handle this. It will not affect me. And then you start swallowing it up. And soon before you know it, you find yourself getting involved in things you don't want to get involved in. You find yourself getting involved because the devil is a master planner in creating an opportunity. He will create an opportunity for you to really manifest those things that you have been feeding yourself on. Amen. The Bible said in Luke chapter 11, 13 to 36, Luke 11, 13 to 36, he said, the lamp of the body is the eye. The lamp of the body is what? So you can imagine what happens if your eyes are not there. You will need somebody to guide you. Amen? He said, therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. When will your whole body be full of light? When your eye is what? Good. Which means you kept busy beholding only good stuff. And where does good stuff come from? The word of God. And everything that is patterned after what is written in the Bible. And then he said, but when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Verse 35. He said, therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no parts dark, the whole body will be full of light. And when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Amen. Let me tell you a little story about myself. That was then. The one that did that is dead. The person that you're seeing now is a new creation. When I was in high school, I was always praying, fasting, studying the word of God, and I was always coming first in the class. And before any exam will show out, God would have given me the questions. And then, when it comes to the exam time, exactly those questions will be there. And I will just put the answers I've studied. And I was always coming tops. In the classes, they were always trying to make me either the prefect or the senior priest or this one. The teachers were always fishing me out for one thing. But I was always shrinking away from all those things. I was living outside and was coming into the school because my mother could not afford to pay for the boarding fee. And then, when my sister graduated, and it was difficult for her to be, to be providing the food because she had to buy food for me to cook. to feed myself outside. So, and then I moved into the boarding house. I think I was, close to my finishing, I was the 4th year to the 5th year, because I knew that the reason I was able to go to high school was simply because my mother had to sell her jewelries, had to sell her clothing to help to pay my fees, because some people told her, why are you bothering to pay her fees? Why don't you? Because I am the second of the girls and the two boys came last. Say, you should rather spend money taking care of the boys who are now going to be the ones that will inherit their father's company. This one, when you waste your money, you know, spending on her, she will finally just get married and then you will lose everything. Just let her get married. And at the time, a lot of suitors were coming. And my mother kept saying that my father promised her, his children, that they will all finish, you know, college. And she just wanted to keep that. And she kept on trusting God. So she, you know, she was always begging people for money to help us. And what will guarantee that people will respond is you had to do very well. So I knew all that. So I was always trusting God and I was always working very hard. And I depended so much on God. Now I moved into the school compound. And then they immediately made me school president, I think a laboratory prefect, you know, and then I was still working very hard. But in my last year, while we were waiting for them to now do send off for us, you know, those that finished, high school at the time, you know, we don't call it high school, we call it secondary school, back home in Nigeria. So we are waiting. So, you know, free time, we will, you know, you hear people reading Dennis Robbins, James, you know, all those books. So I picked one of them and I started reading. And he said, and he said this to him, and he did this to her, and he did this to that. So those things began to fill my heart. I'm just talking about the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. While I was away from the compound, I was always full of light because I was always studying, I was always praying, and I was always depending upon God. Now, towards my last year, for them to now do send for so that I can leave the school compound, I started reading those things. I was enjoying the books. I was really enjoying the books. But you know, like I said, the devil always is good at creating an opportunity. I moved out when they now finished doing the send-off, and then I had to go to Onish. I had to stay with one of the pastors there. My mother had been good at taking care of pastors, and because they knew she was a widow, they were always helping us. So I was over there. They gave me a very comfortable room. I never had that kind of room, because in my mother's house, we had just two rooms. And the four of us were using that one room. And the other one was kitchen and everything, and my mother was sleeping there. The devil created an opportunity. When your body is pleasurable and you're free, I was thinking about all those things, and before I knew it, I started masturbating. How did it start? There was something I fed myself with. My whole eye turned into darkness. That's why the Bible called it corrupt speeches, twisted words. You are what you feed on. Don't ever think that what you're feeding on will not affect you. When I got married, it was difficult for me to consummate my marriage because I was always used to fantasy, he did this, and you know, that kind of thing. It had to take God to deliver me out of it. It had to take God. So God called us to do business with our lives to the profit of the kingdom. What you are exposing yourself to will affect you. When God says, do not be deceived, he meant every word of it. You will just simply be fooling yourself by exposing yourself to all manner of things. Some of you that will finally get married, I encourage you. It is important that, like the Bible said, how will a young man keep himself pure? It's just by taking heed to the word of God. That way you lessen the baggages you are going to carry to your marital life. So that you won't have to get your wife or your husband to start something. Maybe you are keeping somebody out there. But they may never know that there is something that you're battling with. A And you keep yourself pure. If you're going to meddle with a male or with a female, remember that that person is a child of God. And even if that person is an unbeliever, he's a sheep without shepherd. What are you supposed to do to guide that person to the right path, whereby the person will find the shepherd of his or her soul? You are not supposed to join to destroy that. You are supposed to do business that will profit the kingdom. That God will look down and say, I have my son there. I have my daughter there. Amen? The light is already in you. Don't let that light turn into darkness by exposing yourself to something else that the Bible did not call light. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 25 to 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 25 to 27. Let's read it together. Ready, go. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. 26. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. 27. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Amen? You see what Paul is saying here in verse 26. He said, I run with what? I run with what? With a purpose. Remember, you are God's masterpiece. So, while you're still here, choose to run with a purpose. Remember, women, your future children are going to come through you. Men, conserve your energy, because that is your strength for your children. Don't bring too many baggages into your marital life. It will not help you nor help your family. Choose God's route. That's the better route. Whatever God is telling you is for your own good. He loves you passionately. And he knows the end of it. Like he said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. He knows it. And he knows it will not benefit you. And that's why he goes ahead to tell you this. Amen? So run with a purpose. Do this business. He said, I run with purpose in every step. In every step. Not in some steps. In every step, I run with purpose. You say, I am not shadow boxing. You know, like people that will practice for... I'm not into that at all. It is the real deal already. It is the real deal already. Life does not have dress rehearsal. It is the real deal already. You say, I discipline my body. Who is it, his or her responsibility to discipline his or her body? It's me, it's you. God is not going to do it for you. He has given you. He said we can do all things through Christ who infuses the inner strength. The ability is there already. If you have received the Spirit of Christ, you have already received the ability to put this body under, to buffet this body, to get this body to line up with the Word of God. He said, the athletes, they do this for a purpose. They do this to win earthly prize. But ours is what? Eternal prize. Is eternal prize. Amen? So we must choose to run with a purpose. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 5, 1 to 2, then 10 to 20. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 to 2, 10 to 20. He said in verse 1, what are we told to do there? To do what? Imitate God, therefore, in how many things? In everything you do. In how many things? So think of everything that you do. From the morning that you're waking up to the going up to the bed. Everything that you choose to do for that day, the Bible said for you, the God that loves you said, imitate me in everything, not in some things, in everything, in your eating, in your sleeping, in the use of your time, in the use of your talent, in your relationship with everybody around you. He wants you to imitate him, and that means represent me there. Be my person there. Let them know that I'm also there. By your being there, let them see that I'm also there. He said, because you are his what? Their children. Because he loves you. You are doing it because he loves you. He told us in 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, say the love of the Father is not in him. Which means you don't know how deeply you're loved by the Father. Because he's telling us here to do this in because we are his dear children, because he loves us. When you understand how deeply he loves you, you will not want to do or get involved in anything to hurt him, because you love him. But you have to first of all understand how deeply you are loved. Verse 2 says, what did he say? Live a life filled with what? Love. Following whose example? The example of Christ. Jesus Christ modeled it for us. He said, live a life filled with love. He said, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for a pleasing aroma to God. What he did was a pleasing aroma for God. He said, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. And who is the light we have? Jesus in you, the hope of glory. Amen. He says, so live as people of light. If you are born again, you are people of light. You are not people of darkness. You are people of light because you have the light of God in you. Verse 9 says, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. So when what it is producing is not good and right and true, then it is not the kind of light that you have. It means that you must have to sit back and look inwards and check again and know what is causing this. It's not the kind of light. See, my husband was sharing with us on Thursday. When you plant mango, what kind of fruit is it going to show? Mango will just come. You don't plant mango and you see banana or you see orange. That would be a misnomer. You plant orange, you will expect orange fruits. So if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, it's going to be righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When you begin to simply go follow the home-based instruction. Remember, you are citizens of heaven. So you take your instructions from heaven, not from here. We don't allow the world to direct us. We are the ones that are called to direct the world as the light of the world. And the Bible said that what Jesus did was a pleasing aroma to the Father. And that's how it's supposed to be for you and I. We are supposed to be the aroma of Christ everywhere we find ourselves, according to what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are the fragrance of Christ, which means we are the aroma of Christ. Which means, if you look at how beautiful these flowers are. When you come in here and you look at it, it looks so beautiful. How many of us love flowers? I love flowers. They look so beautiful. You know, and the one that smells, the Bible said that we are sweet aroma of Christ. Everywhere we find ourselves. What Jesus did was an aroma to God, that through what he did, we are brought into the family of God. Amen? So we are the sweet aroma of Christ. Amen? So let's continue with that, Ephesians chapter 5. And then it says in verse 10, he said, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. How are you supposed to do it? Carefully. Which means, whatever is before you, is this okay? Will this bring praise and glory to my Father? Is this going to hurt the heart of my Father, whom I love? No, I don't want to get involved. I know he's with me here. You know, is he feeling happy? And the Bible said that, let the peace of God be the umpire. If there is anything that is scratching you here, like the pastor that preached earlier on told us, you better check it again. It means because the inward peace should be the guiding thing, the guiding rule. So carefully determine what pleases the Lord. He said, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Take no part in the worthless deed of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. In other words, then get involved. Those things that you know, you can't go outside and get involved in watching them, in being part of what they are doing, and they bring it to you at the cozy of your home in the television, and you sit down there, balance there, and you're just swallowing it up. The Bible said, do not get involved. And he said, for the light makes everything visible. And you have that light in you. The word of God is light. You have the spirit of Christ in you. The light of the world lives in you. Say, for the light makes everything visible. You will always know. And he said, this is why it is said, awake, O sleeper. Tell your brother, your sister around you, awake. Awake to righteousness. Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He said, "Why awake from the dead?" Now, what does it mean? Awake from those dead stuff. The word of God is the light. Don't be eating garbage. Don't get involved. Those are garbages. Don't get involved in them. He said, "Awake, awake, awake, wake up." The devil is just doing like this to you and you're just sleeping there. Amen? And he said, for the light makes everything visible. He said, this is why he said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 15, he said, so be careful how you do what? Be careful how you do what? Be careful how you do what? You live. The word of God is not complicated. It's not complicated at all. Be careful how you live. He said, don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Who are those who are wise? Those who follow instructions from the word of God. Because wisdom, remember, it comes from the mouth of God. So he said, by verse 16, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Make the most of every opportunity you have. The most of your time, the most of your talent, the most of this life that God has given you, make the most of it. That's use it to the utmost, highest profit of the kingdom. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. He called these evil days. He said, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And the Bible said, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he said that do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said, let God change the way you think. And how will he change the way you think? By the word of God. Amen? There's a song that they sing, if you're confused, say follow the book or go to the instruction. I don't know, I've forgotten how it was said. Amen? And then verse 18, he said, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with what? The Holy Spirit. The word of God is spirit. You be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's pray in the spirit a lot. When you pray in the spirit a lot, you get deeper and deeper revelation of the word, the understanding of the word of God, and you're better able to perceive something because the Bible said, my sheep hear my voice and they do what? Who are the sheep of him? If you are born again, you are his sheep. And when he says, my sheep hear my voice, he's not telling you a lie. He's not a man that he should lie. He has said it all. If you think you're not hearing, you're hearing, but the only thing, maybe you choose to ignore it. But it's a new day today. We are not going to ignore again when we hear. Amen? So he said, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your heart. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, if we have been raised with Christ, according to Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 4, the Bible said that, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead. Say, aim at and keep the rich eternal treasures that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in the splendor of his glory. Amen. So how many of us have been raised with Christ? How many of us? If you're born again, you've been raised with Christ. And he said in verse 2, set your minds and keep them set on what is above. So again, help me to preach to your neighbor on both sides. Set to your neighbor on the right, set your minds and keep them set on what is above. Tell that person again, set your minds and keep them set on what is above. And then turn to the other neighbor. Set your minds and keep them set on what is above. Amen. Thank you for helping me to preach. Let's look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3, 13 to 18. The Bible said there, if you are wise, who are those that are wise? Those who take their instructions from the word of God. Wisdom comes from the mouth of God. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. 5. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Some things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Verse 16. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Amen? See, where there is envy and strife, the Bible said that there is confusion and every evil work. You have just simply succeeded in opening up the door for the devil, and yet you have the Spirit of Christ in you. You don't give room to that. There's a song we used to sing when we were in elementary school, when those in teacher training college will come to minister to us. They will have us circle together and hold hands together, and then somebody will be running around and say, "Onye kwena agobata, agunewewebu." In other words, don't let that one outside come in. Strife will kill anybody. Don't let it. Don't let it come through you. Bitter jealousy, it will kill anybody. They have medical science have come to tell us that resentment and bitterness is the greater part of cancer in most people. And even emotional stress, all those negative emotions, your body is not designed to carry negative emotions. Your body is designed to flow in love. That's why the Bible said, do everything that we do in love. The Bible said in verse 17, but the wisdom from above, what will tell you that you're following God's ways is the wisdom from above is first of all what? Pure. It is also what? Peace loving. You're ready to let go. You choose to, to let go. It doesn't matter. All in the name of pursuing peace. The Bible says we should pursue peace. The word pursue is like, it's trying to run away from you, but you're running, you want to grab it. So he said, it's peace loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of what? Mercy. It is full of what? Mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. And what would they harvest? A harvest of righteousness. Amen. The Bible said a merry heart does good like medicine. A broken spirit dries up the bone. It's one thing I love about my husband. He's always with that kind of merry heart. No matter, even when there are challenges, he's always in top spirit. You think that everything is, you know, kule. You know, and that, you know, beautiful spirit makes him overcome whatever comes, and it's encouraging every one of us in the family. We keep a merry heart. Amen. Don't give in to strife. You don't want to get there. You just simply open the door wide for the devil, and you don't want to get there. Amen. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, it said, verse 29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Say, let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. It is the same Holy Spirit that is in you that is in your brother. So let's give each other room. They will all amend. I wasn't like this years back. I have left and I'm on my way. And I keep on hearing. And so long as I keep on hearing, God keeps taking me from one level of glory and another level of glory. And the same thing goes for you. The same thing goes for your brother. The same thing goes for your sister. Amen.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.